This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I am your host, Ryan Blackburn at NBA Blackburn. Oh god, I said Superbook Sports. Jesus Christ. Part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, we're brought to you by Bet Online and Number 38, and that is it. That's all it is. Really appreciate everybody for hopping in. Nice little blunder here in the first 40 seconds of the podcast. Very nice. I continue to do that. Welcome back. Welcome in, first and foremost. Appreciate everybody for stopping by. Hopefully, you're having a good night. Hopefully, you are interested in Denver Nuggets talk. We're in the middle of June, and Nuggets haven't played in a little bit here, so we'll see what happens. But I'm excited to talk about a topic that I discussed for an article on Monday with Mile High Sports. We're going to talk about Bruce Brown and what his loss actually meant to Denver sort of 1 year later. Whole year of data, whole understanding, I think, of what the playoffs and the regular season both looked like. Understanding sort of how Denver approached things. I wrote about this. I talked about this. It was a good conversation. I think that Denver needs to sort of change up how they do this. And we're going to talk about my takeaways from that article in the first segment, some Bruce Brown replacements, six-man replacements, in the second segment. And then third segment, I'm going to talk about the 28th pick in this draft. And then, because draft is like 2 weeks away now, and I haven't really done a bunch of prospect work or anything like that. So we'll discuss all of that if possible, but it should be very fun. I'm looking forward to it. First, I got to tell you about Bet Online, the number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs, specifically the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to their online casino, get in on a game of blackjack or something similar. Head over to their website today and use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. Okay. Let's talk about it. I have seen my friend Matt Moore hop into the comments here. Can you replace Bruce Brown is a great question. You got to read. Well, and here's actually a great segment. Denver tried to recreate them. They tried to recreate, like, I don't remember what that reference is. Honestly, it's pop culture reference that it's not coming to mind. You can't replace Bruce Brown, but you try to recreate him. Oh, you know what it is? It's a Moneyball thing, which is hilarious. That is fantastic. You can't replace Giambi, but you can recreate him. And that is actually, we'll pivot into that. That was the emphasis for Moneyball, where teams got to play smarter. They got to play more economically friendly, understand where some sort of weaknesses are in team building are, and then recreate it for your own personal advantage, especially if you don't have the advantages of the Yankees or the cash poor Lakers or any team like that. This time, the Nuggets tried to recreate Bruce Brown, and they did so with three players: Reggie Jackson, Christian Brown, and Peyton Watson. I've talked about this ad nauseum. Reggie Jackson was brought in, became Denver's sixth man from a playoff, like a minute standpoint. And that was already kind of a faulty premise, in my opinion. Just because, I mean, how could you possibly justify replacing or recreating Bruce Brown in that manner? But it was about his ability to replace Jamal Murray in the starting lineup. And I gotta be honest, when you look at the lineup data, did a reasonable job. Like, did a reasonable job in the lineups that included Reggie Jackson and the four starters. That's what you needed. And Denver got that when Jamal Murray either sat due to injury or sat due to, hey, I need to rest for the second unit. And then it was Christian Brown, who Denver expected to take a step forward in his second season. And he kind of did. Not really. In some ways, I think he improved during the second half of the season. I think he improved in his ability to carry a heavier usage, carry more minutes, carry more responsibilities, and kind of move up the lineup pecking order a little bit. Last year, he wasn't the eighth man. He was the ninth man in Denver's rotation, the ninth man or tenth man in situations where the Nuggets needed like his services, because it was Bruce Brown, Jeff Green. They ultimately settled on Christian Brown, but it wasn't after a while. Like, they had a backup center for a lot of the time. And so it was like Christian Brown's defense and his ability to switch and his malleability, especially on the defensive side, and like his cutting and his off-ball athleticism, things like that. And then with Peyton Watson, who's kind of your explosive guy, the guy who was doing everything that he could to provide the burst, provide the athleticism, provide the hyped up plays. And he did a lot of that, especially during the regular season. I was really impressed for the most part with what Peyton Watson did this year. So much so that I've had conversations with the very Matt Moore that showed up in this podcast about, hey, maybe Peyton Watson can start sooner rather than later. That ultimately, I think, was folly. But it is interesting that during the regular season, Nuggets win 57 games. They figure out how to piece it together. There's a lot of crowing going on, especially from various parties. Oh, yeah, we don't need Bruce Brown. We don't need him. We're just going to recreate him. And then the playoffs happened, and Denver ran out of guys. They ran out of players that they could really trust. Christian Brown played enough, but he only played like 17 minutes a night in the playoffs. Bruce Brown, during the playoff run, played 26 and a half, over 10 more. And that flexibility, that ability to stay on the floor, especially in close games, was a big trust factor that ultimately, I think, got pulled out from under what the Nuggets wanted to do. Back in February, around the trade deadline especially, I expressed concern that the Nuggets did not have enough on their bench. I did it on this very podcast. I did it probably not in the most effective ways on Twitter. And I was very loud in my perspective that I did not think that the Nuggets had enough, and I got laughed at. Ultimately, that turned out to be correct. And it wasn't about the starters being bad. The starters were bad. But the thing about the starters in last year's playoffs was that when the starters were bad, the Nuggets just went to a different lineup. They couldn't do that this time around. And so I haven't been crowing or anything like that. I haven't been crowing about being right, because nobody wants to be right in that kind of a situation. But ultimately, that is what happened. That is what bore out. If you see a whisker in front of the podcast, let me see if I can. Can you see the whiskers here? Yeah, there you go. The cat is now sitting in front of all my notes on my computer, in front of the comments. So if I don't reply to your comment, I'm sorry. Look, they tried to recreate Bruce Brown. It didn't work. And I wrote about it yesterday on Monday and thought, you know what, this isn't going to, like, this may not go over well, but I think that Denver needed their Bruce Brown replacement last year. They didn't get it. And as a result, it was a lot more unsteady. Oh, you're gonna leap? There you go. Good for you. Oh, man. Okay. Good, that door's open. I think that, like, if I just go to some of my Bruce Brown notes here on this other page, some of the stats that I posted over the weekend, or, like, then in this article, were that Bruce Brown's utility in lineups during the regular season then translated really well to the playoffs. And something that was really noticeable was that Denver's most played lineups during the regular season this year were not their most played lineups in the playoffs. They tried developing Christian Brown, Peyton Watson. They had some minutes where Christian Brown was the de facto point guard in place of Reggie Jackson. Those lineups just didn't play enough in the playoff setting. They went to Justin Holiday instead. They went to Aaron Gordon instead. And those decisions were good. Those decisions were logical. But the problem you run into is you just don't develop any chemistry. You don't develop any thing that you can trust that Michael Malone can consistently fall back upon. And this is the feat of Michael Malone as well. He probably didn't do a good enough job of finding other combinations that Denver could go to that worked outside of the starting unit. Because I got to be honest, Denver, they overplayed their starters. Everybody talks about it from the perspective of fatigue, but I'm going to talk about it from the perspective of chemistry and understanding what you can do with other people. What happens when Plan A doesn't go well? Because Denver's bet this year was that Plan A would be so good that it wouldn't matter. And as it turns out, somebody had an answer to their Plan A, and they didn't have a response. So I'm very curious to see what Denver does. Some of the important stats takeaways from that Bruce Brown article. The Nuggets starting lineup of 959 minutes played by their starters this regular season was more minutes than every other team's top two lineups combined from a minutes perspective. The next closest was the Houston Rockets. The third closest was the Boston Celtics. So it's not like this is a death knell or anything, but the Nuggets were just so reliant, so functional with keeping KCP, Michael Porter, Aaron Gordon, Nikola Jokic on the floor at the same time. And then Murray was obviously out there for the most part, but if it wasn't him, it was Reggie Jackson. That is pretty tough. That's a pretty tough way to develop chemistry and understand how to build with the rest of your group. Other couple of numbers here. The starting five for Denver each averaged 35 minutes a game in Denver's 12 playoff games this season, over 35 minutes a game. In 2022-23, only Jokic, Murray, and Gordon did that. Porter and KCP did not. And I think that's one of the things that would have helped a guy like Porter stay engaged. And frankly, it was one of the things that Denver had to rely on Porter in Game 7, despite the fact that he was getting locked. They couldn't go to a guy like Bruce Brown because they didn't have him. They at times closed with Christian Brown during that series, and it was effective in Game 4 and Game 5. But Denver didn't have other options when Plan A didn't work. That's the most important thing. And the thing about a sixth man is it should be additive. It's not like, here's what happens when this other thing goes poorly. This is a player that Denver should be looking to add that can change the pace a little bit, that can remove some responsibility from some guys, can help Jamal Murray with the ball handling responsibility that he so clearly struggled with during Minnesota when he was injured, and also before that against the Lakers when he wasn't. Also, what if the starters just don't have the best matchup? What if they win their minutes against 95% of the league, but it's the 5% that's standing between you and the title? That's generally what happens when you face an elite team, a truly elite team. And that's what happens when Denver faced the Timberwolves this year. And it probably would have happened if they would have faced the Celtics. I think I would have picked the Celtics over the Nuggets. Over the Nuggets. So that's tough. And the problem that you run into is obviously Denver had so many guys off of their bench this year. And this is the thing from J.K. Walrus, the Booth development plan. This is the Booth boys. The guys that, hey, they're going to be around for a long time. Well, they might be on the roster for a long time, but whether they're actually going to play an important playoff series is a thing entirely. And so you need to figure that out during the regular season. I want to give Michael Malone the benefit of the doubt there. And Calvin Booth, the benefit of the doubt there, too. It's really hard to develop rookies. Calvin Booth tried to get aged rookies, but I'm not sure if he got good rookies. And that's where drafting the 29th, 32nd, and 37th overall pick was that was an interesting move, in my opinion. But look, here's the thing. I think that Denver needs to consolidate some of the talent that they got. They could obviously not replace Bruce Brown fully last offseason. The problem that I had was that they didn't really try. They went into that offseason basically thinking, okay, we'll either get Bruce Brown or we won't. And if we don't, then we'll just re-sign Reggie Jackson. We'll add a veteran like a Justin Holiday, and then we'll draft several rookies and try to stay cheap. And they did. And it ultimately didn't work. And so that's not necessarily on Calvin Booth entirely, because shit happens. Things happen. But I do think it's interesting to think about it from the perspective of, okay, if you go all the way back to when they could have replaced Bruce Brown, when they could have been a little bit more desperate, could have tried to find another player that might have been able to kind of replicate what he did. They decided to re-sign Reggie Jackson with the taxpayer MLE instead. And I was pretty critical of that decision then. He ultimately was fine during the regular season and then wasn't the problem during the playoffs, but he also wasn't the solution either. So this is the issue. Denver's got to find a solution, like a rock-solid solution. And they got to throw a lot of pitches to see if they could get a hit, because they didn't throw enough pitches last year, in my opinion. They didn't have enough things. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they did try. Maybe they did really try. But I don't know. I didn't get the sense that they were super active. The sense that I got, though, is that they were content with their plan. Because their plan involved, like, when they signed the rookies to full contracts, say, hey, this is the best that we can do. And I don't think they really had another solution. So, I don't know. We'll see. Like, I see teams like Nickeil Alexander-Walker goes to Minnesota. Kelly Oubre goes for a minimum. Like, Denver just didn't take enough chances, in my opinion, to try to recreate what they had. And that, to me, is where they faltered. But, look, we will see what ultimately happens with it. I think that there is there's potential for them to go get a different guy here, to go get another guy that could do something similar to what Bruce Brown has done. It might make some people uncomfortable, and we're going to talk about it on the other side. We will be right back on Pickaxe and Roll. But first, I got to tell you about number 38, the best outdoor-indoor bar in the business in Rhino. Make sure to go check them out. They've got some great brunch options, some great food options, some great beers on tap, $15 pitchers when we're there and we're doing the pregame podcast or the postgame podcast, the shows. A lot of fun environment to be out there. Like, they've got an outdoor area. It's wonderful, especially during the summer. Make sure to get there early. Make sure to go there often and let them know that you came from Mile High Sports.
Did you know that there are over 200 plus cannabis dispensaries in Denver? So how do you choose where to shop? If quality above all else is what drives you, then make sure to take a trip to Legal. Since 2010, Legal is a true mom and pop shop featuring one store, one cultivation, and doing it right for 14 years. Legal offers the best organically produced and sustainably cultivated flower in Colorado. Legal provides house-grown legacy strains and new cultivars, along with carefully curated selections of edibles, concentrates, and clones. Mention you heard this on Mile High Sports, and you'll get $10 off any purchase. Located at 6th Avenue, and I-25 at 380 Kivas Street. If you're looking for convenience, they offer delivery as well. Legal, a cannabis dispensary for the discerning connoisseur. Be sure to check out our friends at Legal at l-eagledenver.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. Make sure to like and subscribe to the YouTube video if you can. And if you're listening on the audio side, give it a rating. Give it a review. That would sincerely help the podcast. Okay. Talked about why and how kind of the Nuggets sort of failed in the process of getting Bruce Brown as their sixth man or replacing him last year, this past year. But now let's talk about what they can do. Let's talk about what's viable. In the article, I shared several names. Ultimately, I think it was 19 different names of players that to varying degrees, I think, could do the job that Bruce Brown just did for Denver in 2023. Whether they could get all these guys is one question. Whether I'm wrong in that these guys would be just as impactful is another question. Whether Denver's willing to go get these guys is another question. But I'm going to share the names, and we're going to talk it out. 19 different names, we'll just go through them rapid fire. When I matched per 36 numbers for what Bruce Brown was, like his production, based off of a Stathead search this year, five names that were above 6'4 that matched his per 36 production came up. Caris LeVert, Jordan Clarkson, Malik Monk, Russell Westbrook, and Gordon Hayward. We'll start with Malik Monk first. That is a no-go. Obviously, he's going to get way more money than Denver can afford. Don't even think about Malik Monk. Next is Caris LeVert. He makes about $16.5 million in this upcoming year, and I think that that's going to be too much. Denver, like, I just don't expect them to be able to do a trade like that. I don't expect the Cavs to be in a situation where they want to sell somebody like LeVert. Like, he's a helpful player for them. He's one of those guys that would absolutely, he kind of changes things up for them because sometimes they have to start Isaac Okoro. Sometimes they're starting Max Strus, or maybe he has to move to a different spot. Or maybe they just let Donovan Mitchell go during the offseason and have to trade him. So, I don't know. Things are up in the air for them. I wouldn't worry about Caris LeVert. The salary number is a little bit too large. Jordan Clarkson is the one that you start to peek your ears up about. He's been in Utah for a while now. I think it's like 4 or 5 years. And he's done a good job as their sixth man. He's won sixth man of the year 1 year, I believe. He's not necessarily like your traditional Nugget type. But think about what Bones Highland was for Denver. Think about the vision for what he was doing. It's kind of like what Jordan Clarkson does, just with a little bit more confidence. Because he's older, because you've seen it before, and because Jordan Clarkson understands how to operate within a team and doesn't do other things. I think that the Jordan Clarkson number, which is $14.1 million, it is identical to the number that Zeke Nagy and Reggie Jackson make together. Reggie Jackson has a player option. We don't know if he's going to pick it up. I'm going to assume that he picks it up, actually. There's an argument that he doesn't if he could find another long-term deal, but I don't think that he will. And so if you've got Zeke Nagy's number at 8.8, Reggie Jackson's number like 5.2, it's basically the same thing. The problem that you run into is that Denver can't aggregate salaries in a trade unless they are under the second tax apron, which is $189.5 million. People should remember that number, by the way. It's $189.45. If Denver's under that, then they can aggregate. If they are over it, they cannot. Basically, the only way they are going to be under, if they aggregate salaries, is if they let KCP go, or if KCP walks on his own accord, which he has every right to do. He's an unrestricted free agent. So do you cut off your nose to spite your face to add a player like Jordan Clarkson? You're letting your starting shooting guard walk, assuming that somebody like, I don't know, like Christian Brown, is ready to step up into that starting shooting guard spot. And then you have an actual sixth man that can come in off the bench and sort of provide your change of pace. Is that good enough? Are you okay to break up that elite starting five with the intention of improving your bench? I don't know. I don't know if that's the right call. But what it does do, if they did lose KCP as well, is on top of being able to make aggregation trades, they also gain access to their taxpayer MLE, which could be the difference in signing somebody that wants more than a minimum contract. So I think, and people aren't going to want to hear this, they're not. I think that there's an argument that if they get the right players in a trade and as a taxpayer MLE, that you could lose KCP, downgrade at your starting shooting guard, hope that Christian Brown or somebody similar can develop into the right guy in that space, and be fine, all while avoiding the second apron. I think that there's an argument for that being a logical place. Now, it may not be. Like, if I told you, and here there's another name on my list, D'Anthony Melton. If I told you that the Nuggets could lose KCP, Reggie Jackson, and Zeke Nnaji, but they gained Jordan Clarkson and D'Anthony Melton, is that good enough? Is that enough to justify doing something like that? I don't know what the answer is. I'm just here to provide a perspective. Melton is going to be a free agent. And the Sixers have their sights set on a max contract guy. And they have their sights set on retaining, I would guess, Kelly Oubre or Nick Batum. So I don't think that Melton's at the top of their priority list. And if that's not the case, then he might be gettable for a team that needs his skill set, and Denver could use his skill set. So that's what I'm saying, is that everybody's tied to KCP specifically, but if you gain access to your taxpayer MLE and you can find the right trade to acquire a different piece, then maybe it makes more sense than people seem to think. I'm not sure that it does, but I want to at least make the argument for it. Okay, that is one perspective. Let me keep going on some of these other guys that I missed out on. Russell Westbrook and Gordon Hayward were two of the others. They would be what I consider, like, maybe they're taxpayer MLE kind of guys, maybe they're minimum contract guys, but those are two vets that you wouldn't put into a massive role, but you could see them filling in as an eighth man or ninth man in the right situation. I'm not sure I want to go for Russell Westbrook if I'm the Nuggets. I think that there's just too much there, and I just don't think that I think he's destructive in terms of actually formulating the right stuff for what a team needs. And I'm just not sure. I'm not sure about it because seems like a good dude. I just don't think his play style is very conducive to winning. And that's okay. Gordon Hayward, who knows? Next five guys. These are different types of options that might do it better than what Bruce did for, and this is for six-man stuff, as you recall. Alex Caruso, Ayo Dosunmu, Cole Anthony, D'Anthony Melton, Nicholas Batum, and Kelly Oubre. So we got three Sixers there. The Sixers have a good roster. Like, don't let anybody tell you differently, man. The Sixers have a really good roster of players that can help. Really good. And so do the Chicago Bulls. The problem is that they don't have the stars. I was going to make a joke about Joel Embiid. I'm not going to do that. Caruso and Dosunmu, probably not gettable. I'm not, like, going to hold out hope. But here's the thing. If I'm Calvin Booth, I'm shooting for the moon. I'm starting there. I'm starting with the guys that I think can do it best and seeing what happens. If they say no, then sure. If the price tag for Ayo Dosunmu was Zeke Nnaji, Julian Strother, and the 28th overall pick for Dosunmu, Torrey Craig, and Dosunmu and Torrey Craig. Like, seems like a pretty reasonable deal for both sides. Maybe it's not. But that's what I'm saying, is like, you could talk yourself into the right deal for one of those guys. Cole Anthony, same kind of thing. DeAnthony Melton, as I mentioned, is a free agent option, as are Nicholas Batum and Kelly Oubre. I'm not sure that Batum's going to move. He recently said, or not recently, I think at the beginning of last year said that was going to be his last year. I doubt he's going to want to move to Denver. Maybe he will. Maybe he likes Jokic. Kelly Oubre, who knows? Like, he's probably going to be in their plans, Sixers, for trying to keep him. And they have the ability, not a strong ability, but they have the salary cap room to pay him a little bit. Here are some other minimum salary guys. Delon Wright, Gary Harris, Patrick Beverley, Chris Dunn. Those are options, I think, that Nuggets fans are very familiar with. Delon Wright I've been talking about for eons. I think he was the guy that they should have gotten at this last buyout market, him or Gordon Hayward. If Denver got both of those guys, Delon Wright and Gordon Hayward, for minimum deals this offseason, I think you could feel really good about their prospects as a bench, like piecing something together, because those guys are smart. They know what they're doing. And same thing with Gary Harris, obviously. Chris Dunn is a little bit more of an unknown commodity, but he's proven himself a little bit in Utah, figuring some stuff out. Patrick Beverley, I'm just like kind of in the Russell Westbrook category. I'm not sure I want him around. Like, I'm just not. Like, there's a lot there. There's a reason why he's on minimum contracts, kind of bouncing around. Like, he is a helpful player who's probably worth more than that, but he does too much. So those are the kind of guys that you're thinking about from that perspective. I kind of like Dunn in that category. I think that if Denver were to get a Chris Dunn, that'd be great. Like, he's the exact guy that Swipe has been camping for so much of this time. Like, so much. Chris Dunn would be great. Would he be enough of an offensive guy? I don't know. Do you need too much on the offensive end? No, but you need somebody who could, you really trust the ball in their hands. I'm not sure if I trust Chris Dunn to the degree that it seems like Swipa does, Matt does. My guy CT's in the comments too. But we'll see. And the last thing, and I'll kind of use this as a lead-in for a lot of things, and Matt says here, KCP has so many offers, he gets his pick. Teams will also overpay to get him off of Denver. And so that's the thing. It's like, if Denver has to pay over $20 million in order to keep him around, it may not be the right call in order to, like, it may not be the right call in order to keep him. Because they, like, I think it's more easily replicable for a KCP than it is for a Bruce Brown. Bruce has a, like, you know, specific skill set that was a jack-of-all-trades type. Denver tried to piece it together with a variety of different things. KCP is true 3-and-D. And that is something that I think, hey, you might be able to get that for $8 million or somewhere close instead of $22. Yeah, we'll see. We will see what happens. But, I mean, he's obviously a big piece. Obviously be a really, really tough piece for them to miss. Finally, though, high-level draft targets. These are the guys, and I was talking, or I was actually listening to Matt say this on a pod and thought this was really salient. That rather than go get the 28th overall pick, or like they have this year, why not trade up and do what Dallas did with Derek Lively, who they identified a guy, they figured out who they wanted, who could really fit into the role that they envisioned for them, and said, we're going to go get you, and you're going to help us win right now. And for draft targets, I have Dalton Knecht, I have Devin Carter, Isaiah Collier, and Jared McCain. Those are four guys that I came up with that, hey, we'll see whether that actually makes sense or not. But as I get into more draft coverage, this is the idea of, hey, they have the 20th overall pick. Maybe they pair him with Julian Strother and say, okay, how high can we go? You get two bites at the apple if you're a team, and maybe that gets you up to the 19th overall pick. And if that's the case, maybe Collier, who I've seen drop in mocks, maybe he's the guy that they're looking for and say, okay, 19th overall, we could get to you. And maybe that's worth it. Maybe it's worth it to get a guy that you believe is for sure going to be in your playoff rotation. Michael Malone's got to sign off on it. He's got to be willing to play the dude. That's for sure. All right. We will see what happens. Let's take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about that 28th overall pick. I've got some different strategies I want to discuss, different things that we can go over on this episode of Pickaxe and Roll.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Final segment. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. Let's go to the 20th overall pick. Because we've talked about the Bruce Brown thing. I just gave a bunch of names. Whether Denver can find that name or not remains to be seen. But this last way of doing it through the draft, this is Calvin Booth's like thing. This is what he's wanted to do. This is what he says. Rookie contracts, adding cheap young talents that can be in your system for a while. That's his stated plan. It's what he wants to do. And so if that was the case, you're probably thinking, all right, 28th overall pick in the draft. Let's see who they can get. Let's see if they're around. Second year, maybe they play a little bit more. Third year, maybe they play a little bit more. By their fourth year, hopefully they are a full-time rotation piece for a team like the Nuggets. That's the vision that I think Calvin Booth has. But what if I told you that next year, let's say they drafted 20th overall. Say they get another Julian Strother type who plays about 500, 600, 700 regular season minutes. Not a factor in the playoffs next year. Who knows what the future holds beyond that because they didn't really play in a highly tested playoff environment. Is that good enough, in your opinion? Is that good enough to select somebody at 28th overall in what is considered to be a pretty bad draft? I don't think it is. I think you can find talent. I think there's talent all over, and teams are going to miss on some guys, but what I've found lately is that teams miss less and less when they're as dialed in as these teams have been. All these guys are going at the top of the draft. They're not going to 28th anymore. What if I told you that drafting at 28th overall is not the best option? Well, what are your other options? You could trade up. You could try to go higher, as I mentioned in the last segment. You could trade down, try to collect additional draft assets. Or you could trade out. Try to trade it for a veteran or trade it for a pick in a future draft instead. Well, as I mentioned, trading up could yield you a better player that's more likely to contribute immediately and has a brighter future. There's a justification for it for sure. Absolutely makes sense. You want the best talent that you could possibly can. And if you can get that talent, if you can do that consistently on a rookie contract, then you can continue cycling. You can continue cycling in rookie contracts. And as guys get more pricey, it becomes easier to figure out. Cedric, they cannot get Grayson Allen. He makes too much money. I don't think, like, he's at $17 million a year, I think. The $15 million a year threshold, I think, is what is considered too high for Denver at this point. CT says Stephen Castle. That's another option that they could go for. I just consider him to be a top 10 pick. I don't think that Denver has the draft capital to get that high. Unless, would you trade Peyton Watson? Would you dangle Peyton Watson as a guy that you could really move up and say, hey, we've got a guy who is a brimming fountain of potential, somebody who's everybody's looking for, 6'8", versatile wing, somebody who could do some crazy things both with the ball in his hands, but also one of the best defensive players in the league already. Could you possibly dangle him and justify that? I don't know. Is that reasonable? Probably not. I don't think that that would be the right call. I think that you hit on Peyton Watson. And not to mention, we're talking about Calvin Booth here. We are not talking about Tim Connelly. We're not talking about Doc Rivers or Rock Divers. We're not talking about Rob Pelinka. We are talking about Calvin Booth, who basically put his entire claim on Peyton Watson and has looked pretty good so far with it. So trading up is an option. You're probably not trading Peyton Watson, and you're probably not trading Julian Strother, so I don't think it's the right option. They're not going to move up far enough unless they move those guys. Trading down? Yes, you could acquire additional draft capital to do the next move. But the problem is you're kicking the can down the road a little bit, and you're looking to solve some problems immediately. So unless you can identify an actual way for Denver to trade down and then make the second move that combines those assets into another trade, then I just don't see it. I don't see it working out that well. Trading out, using the pick, not getting any picks back, or you get like a pick in a future draft, I guess. Trading out, you could acquire that veteran contributor you need. You pair him with some salary that you don't necessarily want, you don't necessarily need, whether it's Zeke Najee, whether it's Reggie Jackson picking up his option. Not really sure who else that they could really pair salary-wise. Just doesn't make a lot of sense. Maybe it's like Christian Brown and the 20th overall pick, and then you get an upgraded rookie contract or something like that. I don't know. You could acquire a veteran contributor, but you got to find the right deal. Now, I'm not sure the right deal exists. Obviously, not sure the right deal exists, or else maybe Denver would have done it already. But we're going to find out. My belief is that the Nuggets should do, and I wrote this down, the Nuggets should do whatever strengthens their top 8 or 9 rotation players for their next playoff run. Because while I do agree in the premise of what Calvin Booth is trying to do, in what he's trying to build for the Nuggets, sustainable, long-term winning, Denver missed out on an opportunity this year because they didn't have the right pieces this year. Because Jamal Murray got hurt at the wrong time and Denver didn't have an alternative. Because Michael Porter Jr. got locked up by Jaden McDaniels, struggled on defense, and they didn't really have an alternative. So, I think you need to find somebody off of their bench and figure it out. You need to figure it out. You need to find out who you can add, what you can do to strengthen your top 8 or top 9, however many you think is going to play. If there's a guy at 28 that you think can play immediately, fantastic. These aren't like your the guys that I listed last segments, your Dalton Kinects, your Devin Carters, Isaiah Colliers, Jared McCain's. Those guys are lottery picks or top 20 picks. The guys that I'm talking about, your Daron Holmes's, Kyle Filipowski, Tyler Kolek, Jalen Tyson, all of them kind of seem unlikely to crack the top 9, in my opinion, outside of maybe Holmes, who I think is actually like really good. So, maybe you draft there. Trading down is fine. Like I said, if the assets are immediately flipped, then great. If Booth just sits on the assets and then those assets go into nothing for next year's title run, it's hard to justify. Trading up, like I said, is a good option only if the Nuggets are willing to part with some of their rookie contract guys. The good thing about trading up is you exchange your rookie contract for a rookie contract, so it still stays relatively cheap. I'm just not sure if it's viable. And then trading the pick entirely for a vet seems reasonable, but likely only if, as I mentioned before with the Jordan Clarkson proposal, that KCP, like only if KCP seems like he's going to walk away, does that actually make sense? I don't know what the right call is, people. I really don't. I wish I had a great answer for you, because I made the case initially heading into the offseason that the Nuggets should run it back, which means staying, like you're probably going over the second apron to keep KCP. You're paying what needs to be paid. You're doing what needs to be done. And then you're working on the fringes as best as you can. I'm sort of having second thoughts on that. Part of it is because I think KCP, like he's going to get these crazy offers. It's going to be tough to retain him. And you start to get up into the 22, 23, 24 million. And it's diminishing returns. And so Denver may need to pivot. They may need to come up with a situation where Christian Brown or somebody similar is the right call for filling in 25 starting shooting guard minutes. Doesn't have to close. You can vary up your starting lineup. You could vary up your closing lineup. I don't know what they're going to do, but I think there are justifications for both ways. I don't think you have to bring back KCP, and you could still win a championship the next year. I think that's possible. But Denver's got to get creative. They've got to be more potent when it comes to finding outside solutions, finding minimum contracts that are guys that are ring chasers, that are actually willing to take a little bit less money in order to be where you are because they have a great chance to win. You would hope that Denver could find those guys because they would play with Nikola Jokic, who makes people money. That would be the justification. I don't know if that's actually going to happen. So, it's a tough place where Denver is right now. Now, teams would absolutely gladly trade places with Denver. You get the best player in the world. You get a team that is already championship tested. And all you got to do is fill in the gaps. The problem is I think the gaps are a little bit larger than people wanted to believe. I think I was right about that initially. Not a lot of people wanted to hear it. I think the gaps are a little bit larger, and I think Denver's got to work a little bit harder to figure out how to solve those both in the short term and in the long term. Maybe they can, maybe they can't. Maybe Calvin Booth will do that. Maybe Calvin Booth, like he had a great first year. Don't get me wrong. Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, KCP, Bruce Brown. He added a lot of great names. DeAndre Jordan is a veteran voice for what they needed. The second year was not as good as the first. And that doesn't get discussed enough. Denver sat on their laurels when they didn't have to do that. They probably couldn't do that if they wanted to be favorites. And people got tricked a little bit by the starting lineup being so good during the regular season, because Denver needed more answers than just the top five. And my thing is that if they could exchange their best starting five in the league for more versatility and more potency off the bench, maybe it's the right call. All right. That is going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. As always, this is your daily reminder that the Nuggets were up 20 in Game 7. Thank you, Matt. Really appreciate it. And Locked On Nuggets will be on next. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Please hit that like button, hit that subscribe button on the way out. I will see you on Thursday with the next episode.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.